Welcome to the Empirical Cycling Podcast. I'm your host, Colleen Moore, and I want to thank everybody for listening as always. So if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, it would be great if you did. And remember that we are an ad-free podcast. So if you would like to support the show, you can make a donation at empiricalcycling.com/donate. You can also support the show by becoming an Empirical Cycling athlete. And so for all coaching and consultation inquiries, questions or comments, you can send an email to empiricalcycling@gmail.com. And if you would like to see the show notes, which I suggest you do today, you can head over to the website and check it out, because today I'm actually providing you with a recipe for a drink mix. Now, what's the story behind this drink mix? Well, a couple years ago, I did some reverse engineering on two of the very popular science-based drink mixes that were around at the time, and they were actually kind of new, and I had this shiny new science education, and I wanted to put it to use. So I looked at the ingredients and the approximate application of these drink mixes, and I wanted to see if that, according to my scientific education, that they were going to be good at hydrating people. And it turns out the answer is yes, they're actually going to be excellent at it, and their popularity now kind of proves the point that they are indeed excellent at what they're supposed to do. Knowing these drinks are going to work well, I used a little bit of basic chemistry to reverse engineer them in order to make a drink that could be not only a little more financially viable to consume in large quantities for somebody who was fresh out of school, it was also going to be easy to adjust the individual ingredients according to personal tastes and individual amounts of salt lost, and also to weather conditions and such things like that. All right, and so now let's get into a little bit of some sweat science. So everybody sweats a little bit differently, and by this I mean we're going to sweat out different amounts of salts based on how much we're sweating. So usually this is measured in grams or milligrams per liter of sweat. And so now with exercise hydration, not only do we want to replace the lost water from the sweat, but we also want to replace the lost salts, because not only do these salts help us maintain vital muscle and bodily function, but it also helps us maintain the water for further exercise. The salt that everybody loses the most of is sodium, and most people are going to lose a half a gram to 1.5 grams per liter of sweat. The other salts that we lose are going to be chloride, magnesium, calcium, as well as potassium. Particularly in calcium, we're only going to lose about 50 to 100 milligrams per liter of sweat. So this means that this is actually a fairly low priority salt to take back on. So this means that we can skip the coconut water because this has a ton of potassium and not so much sodium. And if you want to replace sodium while you're exercising, the coconut water is unfortunately something to avoid, although it is definitely fine in daily life. So maintaining our sodium is the big reason that all electrolyte replacement drinks have such an emphasis on sodium. Not only is it the most palatable, but it actually has this very important biological function as well. And so how much salt that we're all going to lose actually depends a little bit on our how well adapted we are to heat and a couple other things, and particularly genetics. So if you're kind of a salty sweater, you're probably always going to be a pretty salty sweater. All right, so now let's get into the recipe. It's actually up on the website. I'm not going to read it directly to you because that's probably going to be the height of boring for a podcast, but I'll just go through some of the ingredients. Obviously, we're going to start with water. And then, in addition to water, we're going to have dextrose and sucrose. And the reason that we have both dextrose and sucrose is that this is going to take advantage of some of the transporters in the gut that move sugars as well as water into the intestinal lumen and then into the bloodstream. So this is really just letting water piggyback on our absorption of sugars. And one of the things that's going to allow us to rapidly and effectively and efficiently absorb all of this water along with these carbohydrates is going to be making sure that we have a very low salt and sugar content in relation to the water content, which means that we really want to keep the solution to about a 4% solution, meaning about 4 grams per 100 milliliters of water. And if you're curious, this drink mix is probably going to end up about 5%, depending on how much salt you put in. The other things that we're going to add to this drink are going to be sodium citrate, calcium lactate, potassium citrate, and ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C, and citric acid. So the reason for this is that we do want to replace some calcium, and we do want to replace the sodium, but instead of using table salt, which is sodium chloride, it's actually fairly unpalatable while we are riding. So I generally have a strategy with my athletes to replace the chloride through regular food. So if you bring something like boiled potatoes, sprinkling some salt on that is going to be a great source of chloride. However, in a bottle, sodium chloride is actually fairly unpalatable, but sodium citrate is absolutely delicious. And so sodium citrate is also the main source of sodium in this drink mix, which means that this is the ingredient that we're going to vary in order to make the drink mix conform to our sweat rates and to our taste. And so the way that we're going to do this is if you are a pretty salty sweater, one of the things that happens, we can't directly rely on this, but it's a pretty good indicator, is that if you're caked in salt after your rides, you're probably a very salty sweater. And if you can taste it, and if it burns when it gets in your eyes, I'm a pretty heavy sweater and a salty sweater, so this was always a problem for me. And so I always like to pretty much, usually I would almost double the amount of sodium in the drinks, and I found that that worked actually really, really well for me, and that it was actually during my rides a lot more palatable. And there is, of course, this thought that the body's going to crave what it's going to need. And if you crave salty foods and things like that while you are riding, chances are you are probably going to need some more sodium. Calcium lactate and potassium citrate, these are two other things that are salts that we can replace, and these are much in much smaller amounts. And generally, you can even skip these if you would like, but I always put the calcium in there just in case, and potassium is the one that I skip if I'm going to skip anything. So the vitamin C, the ascorbic acid, this is one of the things that actually influences the dryness of the drink mix. So if you like those orange drinks that are fairly dry, you can definitely put in a little bit more vitamin C. If you're not a big fan, then I actually recommend you avoid it altogether. I usually do, but it's definitely there in the recipe if you want it. So the citric acid actually indicates something that's fairly interesting. Now, most drink mixes actually focus a lot on acidic fruits, like lemon lime, like oranges, like strawberries. These are fairly acidic fruits, and for whatever reason, most people actually find somewhat acidic drinks and foods to be a lot more palatable while doing heavy exercise. And so the citric acid actually is fairly easy to go overboard on, and you were probably going to want to have this as one of those things that that you start a little less on, and then you gradually get up to it, because otherwise you're actually going to have to cut the mix down a little bit so you don't waste a serving, of course. And so the last ingredient is, of course, going to be freeze-dried fruit. And the way that I always approach the freeze-dried fruit is I'll just grind it up in a food processor, and then and trying to make sure that it stays cold the whole time, because otherwise it warms up and kind of coats the inside of the processor. And then actually, since it's already freeze-dried, you can just store it dry and at room temperature without so much as a hassle. And you can actually get some very interesting fruits that are freeze-dried previously. Now, where do I get all these things? I always get mine at modernistpantry.com. They are not affiliated with me or the podcast or anything like that, but they are not a reputable NSF or any kind of tested facility that I'm aware of. So if you are going to get tested and you want to be using these drink mixes, I actually recommend that you source your ingredients from somewhere that you trust that is going to be testing for anything that is not allowed by WADA standards. And of course, the last thing to think about here is going to be the weather. So if you're in some very, very hot weather, you're going to want to add more water to the salt concentration. And so you might want to use a bigger bottle. And this is where, instead of the half liter that I recommend starting with, you're going to want to move up to 550 to even 700 milliliters of water to this regular serving of salts and sugars. On the other hand, if it's fairly cold out, you can actually reduce the water to about 400 to 450 milliliters. And as always, I want to thank everybody for listening. And if you would like to support the podcast, you can do so at empiricalcycling.com/donate, where you can send all of your savings from those brand name drink mixes. And if you have any questions, comments, coaching, or consultation inquiries, you can send those to empiricalcycling@gmail.com. Thanks, everyone.